Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text Number 19.
Tatraika vayavam dhyayad.
Tatraika vayavam dhyayad.
Avyuchine na chetasa.
Avyuchine na chetasa.
Mano nirvishayam yuktva.
Mano nirvishayam yuktva.
Tata kinchana nasmaret.
Tata kinchana nasmaret.
Padam tat paramam vishnor.
Mano yatra prasidati.
One more time.
Tatraika vayavam dhyayad.
Tatraika vayavam dhyayad.
Avyuchanena chetasa.
Avyuchanena chetasa.
Mano nirvishayam yuktva.
Mano nirvishayam yuktva.
Tata kinchana natsmaret. Adam tat paramam vishnor. Mano yatra prasidati. Tatra.
Thereafter.
Eka.
One by one.
Avayavam.
Limbs of the body.
Dhyayat
should be concentrated upon.
Avyuchanena
without being deviated from the complete form.
Chetasa
by the mind.
Manaha
mind.
Nirvishayam
without being contaminated by sense objects.
Yuktva,
being dovetailed.
Tataha,
after that.
Kinchana,
anything.
Na,
do not.
Smaret,
think of.
Padam,
personality.
Tat,
that.
Paramam,
supreme.
Vishnoho
of Vishnu.
Manaha,
the mind.
Yatra,
whereupon.
Prasidati,
becomes reconciled.
Translation,
thereafter, you should meditate upon the limbs of Vishnu one after another without being deviated from the conception of the complete body. Thus, the mind becomes free from all sense objects. There should be no other thing to be thought upon, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is the ultimate truth. The mind becomes completely reconciled in Him only. Prasidati, reconciled. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Foolish persons, bewildered by the external energy of Vishnu, do not know that the ultimate goal of the progressive search after happiness is to get in touch directly with Lord Vishnu, the Personality of Godhead. It's an interesting definition. Vishnu Tattva is an unlimited expansion of different transcendental forms of the Personality of Godhead. And the supreme or original form of Vishnu Tattva is Govinda, or Lord Krishna, the supreme cause of all causes. Therefore, thinking of Vishnu or meditating upon the transcendental form of Vishnu, specifically upon Lord Krishna, is the last word on the subject of meditation. This meditation may be begun from the lotus feet of the Lord. One should not, however, forget or be misled from the complete form of the Lord. Thus, one should practice thinking of the different parts of the transcendental body one after another. Here in this verse, it is definitely assured that the Supreme Lord is not impersonal. He is a person, but his body is different from those of the conditioned persons like us. Otherwise, meditation beginning from pranava, omkara, up to the limbs of the personal body of Vishnu would not have been recommended by Shukadeva Goswami for the attainment of complete spiritual perfection. The Vishnu forms of worship in great temples of India are not, therefore, arrangements of idol worship as they are wrongly interpreted by a class of men with a poor fund of knowledge. Rather, they are different spiritual centers of meditation. Not the temple, but the deity. Different spiritual centers of meditation on the transcendental limbs of the body of Vishnu. The worshipable deity in the temple is identical with Lord Vishnu by the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Therefore, a neophyte's concentration or meditation upon the limbs of Vishnu in the temple, as contemplated in the revealed scriptures, is an easy opportunity for meditation for persons who are unable to sit down tightly at one place and then concentrate upon pranava omkar or the limbs of the body of Vishnu, as recommended herein by Shukadeva Goswami, the great authority. The common man can benefit more by meditating upon the form of Vishnu in the temple than on the omkar, the spiritual combination of A-U-M, as explained before. There is no difference between omkar and the forms of Vishnu. But persons unacquainted with the science of the Absolute Truth try to create dissension by differentiating between the forms of Vishnu and that of omkar. Conclusion. Here it is indicated that the Vishnu form is the ultimate goal of meditation, and as such it is better to concentrate upon the forms of Vishnu than on impersonal omkar. The latter process is also more difficult than the former. So there's definitely a flow of messages here, one following the next, and Shukadeva Goswami wants Maharaj Parikshit and us to understand these sequences, the connection between them, the spiritual hierarchy, one can say, that one is meant to lead to the next one, is meant to lead to the next one. Something like the yoga ladder, where one can do this and progressively, just like we read 647 purport, from karma to karma yoga to karma mishra, to jnana yoga to karma mishra bhakti to shuddha bhakti, in sequence. So in a similar way, just like there's description of karma yoga, we can understand karma yoga is not a complete understanding. Or do it the other way around and say, when Prabhupada speaks of karma, when he translates karma yoga, he translates it as devotion, because that's a subset of what devotion is. It's a component of devotion. But then you go the other way, and just giving up some fruits of one's work unto the Supreme is not the same as devotion. It is a component of devotion. So, in something of a similar way, this first step in God realization is showing progressively, by mechanical means, how to control the body, still the mind, chant this pranava sound vibration to cleanse and, in the language, bring about, of Prabhupada here, bring about the desired change of mind, transformation of the mind. Then in turn, because the mind and the senses are connected in the more purified state of mind, then the senses will act in a different way. Then as we read yesterday, the next step is the practical activities of devotion. So here, meditation upon the limbs of Vishnu. So this is the Eightfold Yoga system, or Dhyana Yoga portion, where when the mind becomes consolidated, purified, and under control, it's directed. The director is the intelligence, or behind our intelligence is the Supreme Intelligence, the instructions of Scripture. Krishna is guiding the intelligence to direct to the limbs of the Lord. So it's technical. It's more than we normally hear about fixing the mind upon Paramatma. Specifically, the mention is made, tatra eka avyayam dhyayad. One by one, eka, the limbs of the body, avyayam, are to be concentrated upon. So, traditionally, starting from the lotus feet, but then the mention is in the next verse, without being deviated from the complete form. Doesn't describe that more than stating what it says. That the parts of the body of the Lord should not be wrongly construed as separate somehow, but part of the whole body of the Lord, but focusing on the lotus feet of the Lord. Avyuchchina chetasa. And by so doing, the detachment from sensual impurity is accomplished. By meditating on the senses of the Lord, or the limbs of the Lord, our own senses are purified. We say like this with devotional service, that in the meditation process, something that's not there, that is there in the devotional process, is in the devotional process, the senses are becoming purified, because the senses are being engaged in practical service. So the sense of sight, the sense of touch, the sense of smell, the senses are becoming purified. In this meditational process, there's two points at the end. The meditational process is more difficult, just as in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Which is better, this one or that one? Krishna says both can work, but this one is better. And that the process, devotional process, it's more complete, and the other is more difficult. Both are the understandings. More complete because it's natural for the soul to be engaged in practical activity, because we're active, we're social beings. And therefore it's more complete. Whereas if my purification, my purified senses, are dependent upon sitting in trance and meditation upon Supersoul, What about the rest of life? It's effective, but it's not complete, is the message. And it's more difficult. Who can do this? Factually. I mean, not just pretending, but who can factually accomplish what's being described? It's nice to think that there are some options, but, you know, when we select some from the options, what's doable? Plus, the doable one is more complete, so. But it is a Vedic process, and so it's being described. Prabhupada explains that these Vishnu Tattva, the term Vishnu Tattva indicates an unlimited expansion of different transcendental forms of the personality of Godhead, of which Govinda or Krishna is the original supreme form. So, therefore, best to meditate upon Krishna. But if one likes, the other transcendental forms are also of the same spiritual quality. They're of the same Vishnu Tattva category. How could Prabhupada resist from declaring emphatically, the Lord is not impersonal? Nor is he what the impersonalists describe as being rarefied goodness. This is Shankara's program. Not like us, but like us. Because us means we're embodied. There's a soul within the body, or covering of consciousness, and there's the most rarefied state of consciousness, that's Vishnu. And then there's perfection. Brahman. So Prabhupada's just argument of logic is the body of the Lord is different, qualitatively altogether different, not just a rarefied different, totally different. Otherwise, logically, why would the chanting of pranava omkar be equated with the meditation upon the limbs of Vishnu? Or, in, for that matter, put in sequence. Next, after omkar, is meditation on the limbs of Vishnu. The limbs of Vishnu are not material. Conclusively established. And then, very interestingly, Prabhupada brings in deity worship. So we have these three things, and what's the relationship between them? Chanting of Omkar, meditation within the mind upon the limbs of Vishnu, and meditation with your eyes wide open on the deity form of the Lord. So, spiritually, on the same platform, and the worshipable deity in the temple of Vishnu is identical with Lord Vishnu by the inconceivable potency of the Lord. So, meditation upon the deity form and meditation upon the form of the Lord within the heart are identical. So, our realization may not be there, but that's the transcendental fact. So sometimes when Prabhupada was asked, there's many times he was asked, and different answers at different times, have you seen Krishna? None different. There he is, Krishna Balaram. And meditation upon the limbs of Krishna Balaram, and decorating the limbs of Krishna Balaram, and may making offerings to the form of the Lord. Not different. And it's more complete because, again, we're using our senses directly. The senses are becoming directly purified in practical activity. And it's much easier. And so the relationship, pranava is the impersonal representation of the Lord, and it brings one to this stage of purification and having the capacity to meditate upon the limbs of Vishnu within. Or, to make it easier for the neophyte, here's Prabhupada's statement, a neophyte's concentration or meditation upon the limbs of Vishnu in the temple, as contemplated in the revealed scriptures, is an easy opportunity for meditation for persons who are unable to sit down tightly in one place and then concentrate upon pranava omkar or the limbs of the body of Vishnu. And he says again, there is no difference between the omkar and the forms of Vishnu. There's no, that's the non-difference aspect, and there's a difference aspect also. The sound representation, omkar, and the name of Vishnu are not, there's difference and non-difference. And for practical purposes, one leads to the next. If one follows the system, looking at the whole picture of the system. However, there's allowance that someone might just want to go to the first step instead of go from the first step to the second step to the third step. And therefore, one may be identified, just as Prabhupada describes in 647 Bhagavad Gita, according to that step that they're on. That's an impersonalist. But one who understands the whole picture, just as Donna Kelly was arguing or persuading or something the other day, is one could be by a devotional process, just as Shukadeva Goswami, he's not training people up to become impersonalists. One could be trained in this other way. First this, and then this, and then this. And it is a Bhagavata Dharma process that one could follow. If one has the proper guidance, and if one has the proper understanding of this leads to that, leads to that, and doesn't get stuck on that particular step, certainly can be followed. There are, Prabhupada speaks about the dissensions between that are brought about by certain persons with a poor fund of knowledge, where their idea is worship upon Vishnu is inferior and chanting of Omkar is superior. So he's stating that, why are they making this dissension? They're of the same spiritual quality. Here it is indicated that the Vishnu form is the ultimate goal of meditation, and as such it is better to concentrate upon the forms of Vishnu. So it's equal, not equal. Better. And just one last thing, in appreciating the flow of these things, it's very important to understand where the train is going. The statements, the statements of a writing or a conversation or a scripture, if taken out of context, can be misleading. The context needs to be understood. What's So what's the whole message of the Bhagavatam that's stated in there in the Chatur Shloki verses of the Bhagavatam and the Mahavakya utterance of the Bhagavatam and certain key passages that indicate the essence of the message of the whole Bhagavatam itself? Something comes over here that isn't really clear. We hold something over here up to the light of the essence message. So we need to understand, if it's unclear, we need to understand it in terms of the essence message. And if one hasn't understood the essence message, then you're not going to understand the parts. So applying that to this section, it's not that Shukadeva Goswami wants that we do this step-by-step method, because he expresses in the beginning of the second chapter and towards the end of the second chapter emphatically that those former processes are to be given up, and the processes of practical devotional service are to be accepted. So why even present them? Because there are steps, and it's Vedic, and one can get there by the steps method. But our acharyas have chosen to direct us to just go right to the practical activities of hearing and chanting, specifically chanting the holy name and hearing the message overall, the message of the Bhagavatam, and deity worship and so forth. That tells us a lot about the priority, how to prioritize and place the message. Okay, so any discussion?
So here it's said that the Vishnu forms in the temples are spiritual centers of meditation.
That's nice statement, huh?
So apparently if someone comes to the temple in front of the deity, he should be taking time to actually meditate on the form of the Lord. But yet sometimes we hear, or at least I've heard, that darshan is when you go to the temple and have darshan, that it's not us seeing the Lord, but it's an opportunity for us to come in front of the deity so that the Lord can see us. And sometimes, you know, it's said like it's not that the deity is like a something you're supposed to just come and gawk at, and you're supposed to come and present yourself to him to view you. And I've also noticed that countless times people come to the temple and they open the door and they walk through out of their head, and 2 seconds later they're out the door. Obviously, I haven't done any meditation if I didn't tell you what was on the altar. So I was just wondering if we could have a clarification on what the mood of the temple goer is supposed to be, or for a doctor who's coming in front of the deity. Because it's like, at one point, Srila Bhakti said they criticized the disciples with eye exercise when they were temple going in Vrindavan.
Well, Bhaktisiddhanta was encouraging his disciples to go higher and higher and higher. If someone go the other route, and Prabhupada described the temples are for persons, or the deity worship in temples are for persons who are very neophyte, and they need to come and see the form of the Lord and offer their prayers to the Lord. Let's say, given that their neophyte prayers are, I'm going to work today and I want to prosper. Please help me prosper. So when I go to work today, I'll be, you know, so take the blessings of the Lord to prosper in my business life or something like that. I've got a problem in my family, and so I pray to the Lord to help resolve this problem in my family. So there are very beginning then intermediate, more advanced. So, but I would take it that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's words were to encourage his disciples to go to a higher level, and the higher level of just listening to Prabhupada explain there's one mood where it's part of Atmanivedana, but one mood is you are mine, and the other mood is I am yours. And they're both nice. They're both indicative of surrender. So that the training that we receive is our mood should be a mood of service. So not just come and gawk, as you say, but present yourself in the, please accept me in your service, please engage me in your service, please keep me connected to you by somehow serving you. And that's our training, as opposed to the gawking. But even just now, going back to the neophyte, it's because the form of the Lord is not different than the Lord. Even if one is gawking, it's elevating and purifying. So your question is, what should one's mood be? We should certainly follow the teachings of our acharyas that are taking us along the path of Lord Chaitanya's teachings, and come before the Lord with a mood of service. And that should be our training. That's how what our mood should be, is according to that training. We're to mold our consciousness in that way. At the same time, the other side, it's pleasing and purifying to see the deity decorated very nicely, and to appreciate, oh, look at the ornaments, look at the garlands. So it's that's a little bit on the other side, just how beautiful is this form, how nicely the devotee has done their service of decorating the deity. It invokes, like I've heard Ramabhadra describe this, you know, many times, a couple hundred times, how it's very important for the people who come to the temple to just feel the breathtaking, spectacular beauty of the deity, how nicely the deity is being worshipped and dressed, and how important that is for the devotee to have that feeling when coming before the deity. And it's a very important part of our service to Krishna to invoke that mood from the persons who come to see the deity. One might say the gawkers, but that's okay, because that's the stage of Krishna consciousness, the stage of attraction for the Lord that they have, and let's inspire that. But that's the mood of a preacher worshipping the deity as a medium for helping to bring inspired thought of the Lord to the Lord. And then, you know, there's higher and more and more spontaneous moods of how to serve the Lord. So to step back from all of that sound vibration, it's just that our training should be in various ways to see how we can, the center, the deity form is the center of meditation, is how we can worship, how we can serve nicely. And there are different meditations of how to serve nicely. That's our training. Any other comments on that somebody wants to offer? Deity worship topic. Something else? Yes?
I have a question to it. Off the topic, but can be noted. Srila Prabhupada taught us that Vaishnavas have to die to live.
Vaishnavas do which?
No, Vaishnavas die to live. And his death pastime was training for a long death. And at his time of death, he kept his beads with him 24 hours a day, even in his sleep. And he had a picture of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati before him, and he focused on the picture. Should one focus, I know that like the meditator focuses up, starts at the feet and then focuses on all the different limbs, but we're Bhakti, so should we focus at the time of our death just on the lotus feet of our guru, or do we focus on the limbs, and what do we do?
There's not a hard and fast rule about this. The essence is invoking a mood of love and devotion. When at that stage, it's the absorption through love and devotion, rather than the details of the limbs, whether it's this or that. That's my response to that question. I'll say it differently. Here, this is part, the sequence of these verses are more on the side of the mechanical system and less on the side of the devotional / spontaneous system. Like the Gautama Maharaj Prikshit, at the end of the Bhagavatam, he was absorbed in Krishna. Now, if we were to ask Maharaj Prikshit, are you absorbed in the lotus feet of Krishna, or are you absorbed in Krishna, the whole form of Krishna? He might have chuckled like we just chuckled. He's absorbed in, his attention is fully absorbed in Krishna. And whether it's upon his feet or his whole form, he's absorbed in Krishna. Because technically, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and the whole form of the Supreme Lord are none different. Again, this is on the more mechanical, technical side. But now for us, it's right in the second canto, coming later, that the instruction is when approaching the deity, we first regard the lotus feet and progressively up the limbs of the form of the Lord. Just like when we approach the Srimad Bhagavatam, we approach first canto, second canto as the literary manifestation of the form of the Lord. But, you know, when we're at the time of death, is it okay to think of Prahlad Maharaj and his wonderful prayers to Rani Kashipu, because that's Canto 7. It's not Canto 1. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay? Something? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki.